Welcome to the GlobalAutoIndustry.com audio interview series. I'm Ron Hesse, and today I'm interviewing Bill Russo. Bill is the founder and CEO of Shanghai-based Automobility Limited, a strategy and investment advisory firm helping clients to create the future of mobility. His over 35 years of experience include 16 years as an automotive executive, including 17 years of experience in China and Asia. He has also worked nearly 12 years in the electronics and information technology industries. Bill is also currently serving as the chair of the Automotive Committee at the American Chamber of Commerce in Shanghai. Today, we'll discuss what is next for China's EV industry. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, Ron. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And let me start off with the first question. What is the current status of China's EV market?
Yeah, through August of this year, there's been 1.8 million what they call new energy vehicles, which is inclusive of battery electric, plug-in hybrid, and fuel cell electric vehicles, although fuel cell is a negligible amount in that total. You know, against last year, full year, 1.3 million, it's already ahead. We're running through August a rate almost three times as many as the same period in 2020. Sales in August were 18% of all new vehicles sold were new energy vehicles. So the EV secular and I would call it both the secular and generational shift is in full force. The popularization of retail consumer interest in electrified vehicles is definitely taken on quite a dimension. And this year, China through the first months of the year is ahead of any other market in terms of EV total sales.
How developed is the EV supply chain?
The EV supply chain is in China quite developed. The country overall, not only is it the largest EV market in the world, the battery materials is about three quarters of the world's output for raw materials is produced in China. So if you look at the forecast of the number of battery plants to be created over the next 5 to 7 years, fully 70% are to be based in China. So when it comes to batteries, you know, China's presence is felt at every step of the supply chain. That includes the collection of raw materials such as lithium, graphite, cobalt. Two Chinese companies, Ganfeng and Tianqi Lithium, make up the largest share of the lithium market at about 25%. It produces about two-thirds of the world's graphite. It captures the majority, almost three-quarters of the world's cobalt refining industry. That doesn't all mean that it's all, you know, mined here. It's just supply chain. Is directed toward Chinese supply chain aggregators. Now, that's upstream. If you look at the second stage at battery manufacturing, you get the same result. You know, two of China's leading companies, CATL, Contemporary Amperex Technology, and BYD control about a third of the battery manufacturing market. So it's a dominant player in EV supply chain.
What can you add regarding China's leverage and supply of rare earth metals?
Yeah, I think, you know, all the ingredients of the battery, including for batteries and motors, require rare earth elements as well. And in that, China also has a supply chain advantage. I would say if you look at the ability to produce all the elements of what comprise an electric vehicle subsystem, battery, you know, motor, there is a supply chain, a decided supply chain advantage here. And that's part of the whole push that China has had around electric vehicles. We're now seeing it rise in terms of consumer acceptance, but it's been for a long time the goal to, you know, commercialize at scale the EV market. And the real advantage is not just being able to produce and sell them. Obviously, you need a market to scale into, but you have to be able to secure the ingredients that go into the battery, including the rare earth elements, which China decidedly has. I think the world does depend on supply chains from China for those ingredients as well. But you know, if you look at production capacities, cathode materials, China has over 40% of the production capacity for cathode materials. anode materials, more than 60% is produced in China. Of the solutions, the separators, still, about half of the world's capacity comes from China. So in the era of electrification, China is definitely at an advantage when it comes to ability to aggregate the materials that come into the electric vehicle.
Bill, why is China's MIIT concerned about needing consolidation in the China EV market?
Well, it doesn't want to repeat the problems that it's had with the auto industry till now. It's always been a market that had a large, it was a large producer of and consumer now of automobiles. But the company, basically you got a big pie, but it's divided into too many slices, which means the companies within that market are cannibalizing each other's share. So it's an inefficient market when it's fragmented to invest in, and it makes it harder for the supply chain companies, who are today quite aggregated in terms of who actually assembles the battery packs themselves. There's only a handful of companies there. But when it comes to the actual companies that are producing the vehicles, there are already registered too many companies. And when you consider there's already too many local companies, there's each of the global companies that are here are going to also want their share of the pie as well. So a fragmented landscape does not allow efficient investment. It doesn't allow efficient scaling of the critical technologies needed for the next generation of vehicles.
How will all of this affect global EV markets?
Well, there's two sides to that coin. I mean, obviously, if there's a market that can scale the ingredients or the technologies that are needed for the next generation of the automobile, whether that's electric or autonomous driving, obviously scale comes with benefits. You can lower the price, you can lower the cost with having large markets. So it's good for the global industries. One of the reasons why Tesla needs to be here is not only to sell their cars, but also to secure the supply chain and drive its own costs down. Any global car maker wants to leverage supply chains in markets that have, large volume production, and low access to low cost supply chain is critical if you're going to stay competitive in a market that will surely require, a value for the money in certain segments. So yes, the positive aspect of it is it creates economies of scale with having large markets that can aggregate these types of technologies. On the other side of that, there's a geopolitical question of, does energy security come in the world of electric vehicles if you don't have access to the supply chain? Are you then dependent on those countries that have dominant position in that supply chain? I mean, for a long time, the U.S. has been the dominant supply chain for carbon-based energy resources. As the world moves to green energy, as the world moves to clean energy resources, the U.S. has the challenge of how does it stay competitive in a world that's shifting from carbon-based energy consumption to clean energy supply chain. Right now, the U.S. is at a decided disadvantage. When you look at the U.S. compared to Europe, it's far smaller in size in terms of the numbers of EVs that are sold. And, it's ironic that if the Tesla, the global market leader, is home market, is behind the EU and far behind China in terms of EV penetration. So you need markets to aggregate your supply chain at scale. China is the place to do that. That's one of the reasons that Tesla has to be here. But when you go beyond just the EVs themselves and the batteries, and you look at the ingredients, the U.S. is not a player in cathode. It has no capacity. China has more than 40%. U.S. has zero. Japan has 33% for cathode materials. Anode capacities in the U.S. is 10%. And solutions and separators for the battery, less than 10%. So the U.S. is at a decided disadvantage in the electrification of transportation supply chain. It's dependent on Asia, whether it's China, Japan, or Korea. Most of the battery ingredients and battery cells are coming from the Asian region.
Bill, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, obviously, this is an industry that is rapidly transforming, right? The auto industry is the backbone industry for the economy in every market that it's currently positioned in. This is decidedly a U.S. pillar industry and needs to be managed as such. Asian markets, in particular China, are the growth markets, have been the growth markets, will continue to be, especially for the electric and autonomous driving eras that are in front of us. And, you know, the U.S. is not really good at playing a game of catching up. So part of the challenge isn't just about getting in the game. It's about deciding what the elements are that allow you to win. And that might be not to play catch up, but maybe leapfrog. You know, find the next generation of technologies that are going to power transportation, out innovate the competition, and get in that game, because you cannot turn the clock back. You cannot go back to the internal combustion engine. The internal combustion engine, it was invented in 1885 by Carl Benz. It's had a 136-year run. It is, we're now almost, you know, a fifth of the way through the 21st century. It's time to put the internal combustion engine era behind us and invest in the next generation.
Excellent. Thank you for your great insights, Bill. And that concludes today's interview. Everyone have a wonderful day.